Yeah, this week on the program, we're just four guys wishing we were never born because we're here to talk about Shrek Forever After. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Shrekrick Shrekska.
Chris Cabin.
And we hate movies. Welcome to the program. Thank you for tuning into We Hate Movies as always. That's right. We're going back for fourths. Here we are covering fucking Shrek Forever After from 2010. Yeah, crack that fucking beer. Directed by Mike Mitchell. You may know him as the director of, now sit down, everybody. Strap in. Put your seatbelts on. This is a fucking filmography to beat the band. Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo.
Nice.
Surviving Christmas. Sky High.
Okay. Whoa.
This movie, then Alvin and the Chipmunks: Chipwrecked.
Oh God! Wow. Not even the squeakquel. They couldn't even get him for the squeakquel.
Nah, part three, dude.
That's part three. There's a third one.
Yeah, Chipwrecked. Yeah.
Wow, that's a theme month coming up.
Oh, yeah. Oh good lord!
Rodents. let's see, SpongeBob SquarePants movie: Sponge Out of Water. First Trolls motion picture.
And you know, you could tell that he would go on to direct Trolls from this, right? We got joke about the hair on Rumpelstiltskin at some parts.
Oh, definitely.
Can I ask a question?
One more, and then, and then I'll shut up. Lego Movie 2, the second part.
Did that come out?
Oh, it definitely did. I'm
an old man. I'm like, what's that story?
when I was typing down Lego Movie 2 into my notes here, I realized I don't think I've lost interest in a thing faster than those fucking Lego productions.
Almost immediately. Like, if you ever want to talk about something that should have just been the one thing and then leave it the fuck alone. But no, we had that. We had the Ninjago movie.
the multiple Batmans. Okay. The
multiple
Wars.
Batmans.
Fellas, I just want to let everyone know it's okay to like a movie. It's okay to like the Legos. And Shrek, this is a big one. People hate us for doing these. People love us for doing them too. But
bigger than Ninjago, though, Eric? Are we going to say that's bigger than Ninjago?
Shrek Forever After? I would say so.
Eric, I don't know how you keep following the two people that get angry about this with us. But
honestly,
you keep hold them in place. I don't know why.
Well, I'm just letting you know, I'm keeping thousands of people subscribed to We Hate Movies. This is, you know, all your venom and bile that you shoot out of your mouth, Chris.
Sure, yeah, just me.
Quick question. How did we miss Forever After, Forever, man? Let's do it.
Oh, yeah, put a big fat four in there?
Exactly, dude. Like a fucking four.
Now they're going to think it's British, though, if that happens.
Oh, that's right.
They can't, you know? That's a problem.
Did you see this shit, though? So where did you guys watch this?
Vudu, because Amazon has been like really annoying with I have to log on to three different things to rent something, so fuck you.
Oh yeah.
Amazon for me, I think.
I did Apple. So in the page on Apple where you rent it, they got something here that these motherfuckers, man, they really try to cover their ass, because it's like you look on IMDb or wherever, the posters for this, all that shit. The movie is called Shrek Forever After. Now, there was a thing, you read the production history on this, the trivia, whatever, you know, to be believed or not. There were supposed to be five of these movies, and then Jeffrey Katzenberg was like, you know what, no, we're only going to do four, because this story, according to him, was a good way to, like, come full circle and finish the Shrek saga, whatever. Huge wet fart. Movie comes out, you know, it does what it does, and then it's like, maybe there will be a fifth one, but maybe not. So if you look at the rental page, it's Shrek Forever After, and then, like, someone went in with fucking masking tape and just taped up this other little part that just says the final chapter, which I guarantee you they will have some graphic artist remove that if they ever make a fucking new Shrek movie. But it's just this, like, it's so, I don't know. I saw that and I was like,
hold on.
Soulless creeps. You only fucking made this for money. There's no artistic integrity to the You know, yeah. I mean, the creation of the stuff, the animators, sure, they did work hard on it. But, like, the reason why you made this movie is ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
It's part four, colon, the final chapter, because in this one, Corey Feldman gets on top of Shrek's head and starts stabbing it.
Well, because he has to shave. He shaves himself in the bathroom and paints himself green real quick.
Yes. I'm getting murdered! The little weird boy put a machete through my big, bald head!
Shrek 5 is that kid trying to be become Shrek, and then Shrek 6 is he becomes undead officially.
Mm-hmm. I'm a fucking zombie.
I'm going to hell.
Now I've got to go to Manhattan. Ack!
I'm fighting some man named Freddy.
Not to get too far off course here, but just an FYI for you guys keeping at home, the feds keeping tabs. That was three people that said they watched this movie legally, and somebody didn't say a word.
I should say, I was going to try to put in, I saw, of course, I watched my 4K of it.
Of course.
Very good. It's very nice.
You got that big old box set, dude. It was the four movies, all them TV specials, a Shrek-shaped dildo, the whole fucking package.
Literally, name a holiday, I've got a short Shrek movie about it. A Kwanzaa with Shrek. It's a fantastic.
Oh, my God.
They did do some holiday cartoons, right?
They did. They absolutely did.
Sit down and let me tell you about the Maccabees really quickly.
We got to cover those on Animation Damnation.
We do. Sure, we need one of these for sure.
Complete this saga.
Well, that was because I was like, I said something on Twitter like, fucking finally the last of these or whatever. And some helpful fucking concerned citizen was like, oh, well, no, you have all these Halloween things and Shrek the Halls and Shrek fucks on Valentine's Day. And, you
Shrek
know,
my balls.
Shrek's bank holiday adventure, you mm-hmm. know, for the UK audience.
Right. What happens there? What they always say bank holiday. That just means like a day off.
We call them in this country federal holidays.
Okay.
So when the bank is closed, it's a bank holiday. Way cooler than federal holiday, I have to say.
The bank is more important than the federal government in that country. So it kind of, you know, good reflection there. I think it's good.
Shrek spices it up for Valentine's Day, him and Donkey swap.
Oh,
a little bit of swapping.
Yeah,
I'm fucking a dragon.
Now the dragon's fucking me.
And then they snowball.
Oh, I don't care, Shrek, so long as she's gigantic and steps on me. Ooh.
Now listen, Farkle. We're going to sit Shabbos today. Let me explain to you what that is.
All right, we got to get down to the content of this movie, fellas. We've been having fun, and people get mad when people have too much fun at the start of a podcast. They're here to hear about Shrek Forever After.
Can mm-hmm. I talk about the DreamWorks logo for a second?
Please. Yes. That's part of the Shrek this Forever After.
This sure. is I had never seen this DreamWorks logo before, this new one, this flashier one where you see the kid actually like cast that fishing pole.
Whatever.
And I was like, dude, you fucking casted a net to find a better movie out there, buddy? What are you doing?
How long is this going to... We're going to watch this fucking kid wake up in the morning, brush his teeth?
Totally.
Like, how long do these fucking logos need to get? Blumhouse, I'm looking at you always.
You teach a kid to fish for movies, and he can fish for movies his whole life, you know? Versus just handing him one.
I mean, here's the thing, Steve, just to point that out. Like, I love a lot of the stuff Blumhouse does.
Sure.
Great. You know, they've really brought horror into the next level here. You know, in the 21st century. But my God, folks, when I think your studio logo is the first 45 seconds of the movie, that's disappointing.
It's scary. Yeah.
It's so scary in there.
Scary.
What's that chair going to do? What's that chair going to do?
Creepy house. Old things are creepy.
It's a little girl.
Oh, my God. Young is creepy, too. Those are the two things, old and young.
All right. So we get this prologue about... Oh, way back before the first movie, when the king and queen went to the wrong side of the tracks to get, you know, Fiona's curse broken and, met immediately the first 20 seconds of this movie, fucking deliverance jokes.
Which hillbillies hanging out there? Yes, within like 2 minutes, a deliverance joke with the with the dueling banjos, the threats. Of, I guess, rape in this children's cartoon. The king might be raped and squealed
by witches.
By witches. Yeah.
I was kind of like disappointed. Like this part of the movie, I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. We've not, again, this is something new, which is this movie doesn't have a ton of. So I was like, that's cool. And like the idea later when the witches come back, they're all just the Wizard of Oz witch. But here there's like interesting different witches. So I was like, yeah. Oh, that'd be kind of cool. Because even like you find out, you do look at the cast listing, there's like real people playing these witches and you can't tell because they all look like nothing.
Right. And they all have kind of like one line a piece and then just all go, so like Lake Bell says a thing and then laughs. Yeah. Later in the film, Kathy Griffin says a line.
Yes.
And then does nothing but laugh. And you're just like, I'm really glad we're spending all this money on all these fucking celebrities to say one thing and then laugh.
Kristen Schaal does one too. And
she kind of has the most lines of the witch characters.
I give it to them that like Rumpelstiltskin, which is, it's weird that he's a villain. Like it just, it's a strange turn for the
character.
Wasn't
he always wasn't he always a villain?
He was a hero to you, huh?
As yeah, I always liked him. I thought like more of, I guess I never saw him this way. Like, I guess it was just weird. Maybe I forgot the story and told.
Well, the story is just like this. I mean, he's a lying fucking cheat. He gets you to do shit, you know. Yeah,
good
and
so
then
far.
It's like, ooh. And he wasn't.
It's a fucking cool character, dude.
Chris Cavan heel turn.
Well, look, hey, I like, you know, if I'm not going to like Thieves, I'm not going to like James Caan and Thief.
That's a good point.
Come on, please here. Maybe this guy's just trying to get married and start a family too. Maybe
it's
that's
too bad James Caan didn't get to play Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That is pretty sad.
You better guess my fucking name, pal. You can guess that shit. Just beating it with a trash can.
Well, it's interesting, right? So James Caan, you know, rest in peace, big celebrity. Could have done a voice in a Shrek cartoon because I think, you know, you got to be at least on TV for, you know, three seasons or up, or you've been nominated for an Academy Award or whatever. But like the interesting thing about this movie is it kind of accidentally proves that you should hire just unknown voice actors to do shit.
Yes.
Because Rumpelstiltskin is just played by the guy who was like the story manager. And when they were doing all of the storyboarding for the film, he was just voicing all the characters to like get them along and everything. And then they were like, hey, man, you kind of have Rumpelstiltskin down. Like, why don't you just do it? And they're like, listen, this movie fucking sucks. And it's repetitive, totally out of gas franchise. This guy doing Rumpelstiltskin does a good job. And it's a memorable vocal performance in a sea of celebrities who are asleep at the switch doing these voices.
He's dedicated to it. He's really pushing in. But part of me does think, You know, you're coming down to the end of production. You're starting to like really get the voice stuff all synced up and you're like missing a couple and you're like, fuck, we're out of money. Hey, George, could you do a voice? Do you got a voice? Let's listen.
Put the broom down. Let's talk.
Has anybody talked to the lawyers? Do any of them have a funny voice? Can we maybe get them in?
Accountants? Did anyone see the trivia that apparently, they were thinking it was supposed to be Sir Paul McCartney, but there was creative differences.
Really?
What? Yes.
I ruined your life, Shrek. That's right.
What if you were never born, mate?
You fucked with the wrong little troll, didn't you?
Oh, I killed you, witch. I killed you, you little witch.
I wonder what he objected to. What was the creative difference?
Well, I thought, you know, Rumpel, he should sing a fun little song there, you know? You know, Mike didn't want to do it. He thought that my singing would outshine his singing.
It's crazy we didn't have a giant musical singing number, because I think all the other ones do, right?
You know, I was always just a Rumpelstiltskin fan, and I believed that he should eat the children. You know, that just seems more like, that's the Rumpel I know, you know?
It's just so tired to see him as a villain at this point. I mean, we've had that discussion. It's over at this point. Why not see him for who he really is, which is a decent man who likes to eat babies?
I love this idea. Shrek is the villain and Rumpelstiltskin's the hero.
Yes. Oh, Shrek's a villain, all right, dude. Yes. Shrek is a fucking villain.
Oh, no, he's just a hard... First of all, in some ways, and I'll get to it. I'll just wait.
All right, good.
I'll hang up and listen.
Hold tight. So this whole thing's going on in this prologue, and then like the king and queen are about to sign away their kingdom to Rumpelstiltskin. And then it's like, don't worry about it. The curse has been broken. This fucking idiot Shrek that we don't know anything about has come in and saved the day. And so Shrek screws over Rumpelstiltskin's plans. And so, now there's this years-long vendetta and a need for revenge, and the movie is kind of off to the races.
Well, but he becomes like homeless for some reason, which I don't necessarily understand. Like, why?
I don't know. Because you see, the witches are all like hillbillies and, you know, hicks and whatnot in the regular timeline.
Right.
And when they get riches, they're all fine and dandy, and so is he. So I guess they're trying to show the desperation of this Rumpelstiltskin character here.
But no, he's giving like payday loans out. He's doing fine.
Oh, I see.
This is bullshit. Like, and but I will the fucking when so they we are introduced to Rumpelstiltskin outside of the story, like in the real world, in a library, and Pinocchio finds him, and there's this really, I mean, disgusting joke, I think. The guy says, they're talking, and like Rumpelstiltskin wants to give him a deal. So he's like, hey, want to be a real boy? Cut to him being thrown out of the thing. And I'm like, it was kind of a diddling joke, right?
Yeah, it's a little, it's on the fence.
Well, Pinocchio wants to be a real boy, right?
Yeah.
He's like,
that's why if the reaction was positive, maybe I'd be like, oh, they're playing it for real. But like the fact that he hates it to me suggests that it's kind of a diddling thing.
You know what? I mean, I didn't notice that, but this is the fourth of these fucking movies I've watched. And I'll tell you right now, this franchise ain't above making jokes like that. So,
yeah, I left the project over the kid diddling joke. They just wouldn't take it out. And I was like, do we really need to do this?
His nose goes in his ass.
It was a hard line for them. They just couldn't move past it.
Oh, well, looks like I'll do another super successful world tour then. we get to present day, and we get this montage of basically like Shrek is being beaten into the fucking ground by domesticity. His soul is dying. It's the start of a John Cassavetes movie. This dude is miserable.
It's amazing.
Here's the thing. It's like, you know, every day the same thing. You know what I mean? His, you know, you're changing the kids. You're doing the thing. I get that. The thing you need to cut out, Shrek, and you can cut out. Like, yes, you now have children. You have a lot of responsibilities. You can tell Donkey and that fucking cat that they can fuck off. I am having a fucking eyeball teeny by myself, and I'm watching the fucking Bears game or whatever he's, which would be the Three Little Bears, I assume. But, you know, like, whatever that is, that's what he needs. I'll see you next weekend, Donkey. Fuck you.
It's just awful, dude, because it's every day Donkey is fucking slamming that front door open, yelling play date and dropping all these fucking, I'm sorry, monsters off of Shrek's house, and they run fucking rampant through Shrek's house. Meanwhile, Shrek's got three kids of his own, these fucking disgusting little things. God. Oh, my God. I'll say this. The one thing that this movie gets right, and, you know, we'll get into it, but this turns into a whole fucking It's a Wonderful Life thing, one of the most tired fucking tropes in storytelling, whatever. Which is no surprise that this movie does this then for the fourth installment. But I totally lost my train of thought fucking kvetching about all this.
Well, I was just curious. Nonsense. Do you think Matt Smith on House of the Dragon would like a donkey dragon or not? Like, do you think that would finally... Would that be enough to get him over the hurdle to fucking shove it in Patty Considine's face or not
much? It's a pacifier for sure, I think. I think he's showing it off.
Pacifier way more than motivator, right? Because it's like, hey, Matt Smith, look, you got this fucking furry donkey dragon now, dude. Like, you don't have to be pissed off about not getting the throne from your brother and whatnot. Like, just play with this thing. Look how ridiculous it looks.
Oh, yeah, there's five of them flying around. You can kill at least two of them if you like.
Because I guess you could do the donkey stuff with them as well. Yep, like, you could move bushels.
Sure.
Got it.
Absolutely. Yeah, dude, fucking moving those bushels hither and thither. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Bushels aren't going to move themselves. I mean, let's be honest here. Let's be honest.
Dragon's just step on it. So
I just remembered the thing that I was going to say. The best decision that this movie makes, because it does this It's a Wonderful Life shit, is that it then due to what that story becomes, his family doesn't exist anymore. All of those fucking kids don't exist for most of the movie, and God bless it.
I think that that is a screen test from Shrek 3, some note cards.
Yep.
None of those tested well. And look, nobody likes in story. I mean, like, there are stories with kids and about, you know, parenting and all that stuff. But whenever a series isn't that and then becomes that, it means you're out of ideas and you're out of gas. And yep. You're just like, oh, well, now it's, oh, man, I got to wake up every day. It really sucks. And I know parenting is hard. I'm not saying it's not. But I mean, it's just this thing where, like, and I think that they realize that they were painted into a corner. It's like, well, It's a Wonderful Life, and then they're not in most of the movie.
Yes, they abandon the kids for this narrative, and it's a smart decision, honestly, because no one wants to see this. No,
I abandoned my boy.
Yeah, this is, parents, this is like, you know, you posting about your family on Instagram. No one wants to see this.
Well, so the original one comes out like 2001. And it's a huge hit. So your main audience at the time is like 14 or 15, maybe. And like, this comes out 9 years later, and it's supposed to be, you're supposed to be growing with this character, I suppose.
God, yes, because you also want to be a family annihilator now.
But no, you're 24. Like, you're maybe 25 at most. Like, it goes from being a movie for kids to being a movie about like 38-year-olds who are depressed.
Well,
like,
here's the thing, man.
There are plenty of people that have kids at 24.
I was going to point out, dude. Plenty of people having kids in their early 20s. Maybe here's the thing. Maybe these Shrek creators were like, look, we're older than the fan base. We got like at least 10, 15 years on the fan base.
Yeah.
We have to warn them. We have to show them how fucking miserable they're going to be if they're having kids at like 22 years old.
It's literally the, well, what else are we going to do? You know what I mean? Okay. So he got with Fiona. Cool. They got married. Oh, that's tough. Well, what's next? Obviously.
But I prefer what we first are about to see, which is like, them, Donkey and Shrek going on vacation like Newhart and Rickles. And
like, oh, yeah.
Yep. Like that is to me a much more like the family vacation type. Yeah. That is to me a much better a trope to deal with than fucking a midlife crisis.
I totally agree.
Because he just starts. The idea is it's a montage. It's pretty effective, you know. Also, there's this weird part where Shrek is a celebrity, which you could keep.
No, thank
you. It can't be both. You know what I mean?
Well, like, he's married to the princess, right? Like, I mean, I guess he saved the kingdom or whatever the fuck.
Sure.
I mean, that's kind of dumb, though, right? Like, that whole notion of, like, you know, these are movies that are big, so everybody knows Shrek, and, like, we're going to transfer that into the world of the movie where it's like, now he's all of a sudden world renowned or kingdom renowned for his fucking Shrek ventures.
He's part of the royal family. It's like going by, I don't know, Prince Andrew or someone, you know? snap a photo.
But I kind of think like he's sort of, you know, they're out of that whole thing, right? Like she's given up the royal life to go live in this fucking shithole.
Braver
with this guy
than Elizabeth too.
They're Meghan and Harry now, you know. They're just let's get fucking $4 billion from Spotify and hit for the hills.
We're moving to Canada. We're gonna make documentaries for Netflix.
Oh, you kids are so talented.
They'll never get a fucking minute of our podcast. You fucking dupes.
Have they never released any yet?
I don't believe so.
No. That's awesome.
But that fucking check cleared. Don't worry about it.
What a fleece.
But yeah, so like, and like, you know, and every night Donkey and like blah, blah. And it's like this thing where every night, like, and every night we have the same thing where we're telling the same story about how they met. And they lived happily. And it is kind of funny. Like Myers is like, they lived happily fucking ever. Oh, dude, I'm going to get a shotgun. We'll see how happily ever after we'll all be.
Hey, Fiona, you better keep those kids away from all my gym equipment, if you know what I mean.
Shrek Benoit. Yeah, I like that.
No, come on. Yes. See, you know what? Fucking lightly referenced it with a nice little camouflage joke, and then you, Chris Gabbard, like a fucking big green dump truck, just
fucking slammed right into this conversation Benoit.
He pulled the camouflage off that joke.
Oh, yeah. Son of a bitch, dude. We're trying to have some class here, Chris.
Yes.
Oh, so, sure. Yes. The Shred Forever After podcast is trying to have class. Pardon me. Whoop-de-doo. Mentioned Chris Benoit. Whoop-de-fuck. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what almost made me throw up watching this movie? They have fucking Puss in Boots just singing around the fucking dinner table. This abysmal Bob Marley cover.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Water, just get the fuck out of my house, donkey.
Because that just lets you know for now and forever that that song is gone and it belongs to Sandals. You know what I mean? It no longer, it's not a cool song to smoke a joint to. It's for fucking snowbirds and their fucking enormous guts just fucking live, just populating an island they have no business being near and just being like, give it to me.
You're absolutely right. Those people need to be brought to task. we should, like, an ogre should attack those isles or something.
Oh, shit. So, yeah, he's fucking totally miserable. And then here it comes, man, the Cassavetes moment. They are at, like, this far, far away version of, I guess, Pinocchio opened, like, a Chuck E. Cheese kind of place. Seems and they're like having the kids, like, first birthday party at this thing. And it's fucking crazy. The kids are running everywhere. There's people asking Shrek if he can roar on cue like he's a fucking circus seal.
Get her R.
I kind of like that kid. He's kind of fun. He's disgusting. He's a little disgusting shit boy.
Oh, yeah.
He is. It's a wonderful shit boy.
And what's
it's
his voice?
Wonderful rendering.
The dad, I think, is Ryan Seacrest, if I was looking at the
credits
right.
But that little kid's got like that little,
do the work. I'm smoking cigarettes to be kid.
That, I think, is the director himself just doing a quick like voice that sounds more like a fart than a human being.
Yeah. That's cool.
I was hoping it was Tom Waits.
We got him back, folks.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't he in one of these?
No, they just put on a song.
Oh, that's right. No, Larry. I was thinking of Larry King. Sorry. Yes.
He's in this one, too, somehow.
Briefly. Yeah. They probably just used fucking already recorded audio or something.
Yeah, because he was secretly dead by then, I think.
In 2010? No, I think he died more recently.
Well, I was just a hologram from 2010 to 2021 when he did die.
Sure.
A hologram. Just like the Queen for a little bit.
That's true. So, it wouldn't be a Shrek movie without... bodily function jokes right up top. He's trying to change in the montage. One of the things he does is change the baby's diaper repeatedly.
Right.
So there is a, oh, you shit your diaper joke. And then like a fake out where you think he's getting piss in his mouth.
Oh, dude.
Just, like,
wow.
I was
about to throw up. I was just not having it.
I would piss in his mouth. And then there's also a moment when he's using the outhouse and the Star Tours knocks into it. And everyone's just watching him fucking take a greasy shit.
And it's like, oh, finally, my fucking DeviantArt page come to life. Yay. Yeah.
You know that this thing is on Renetta Gas because like Cameron Diaz is like better out than in. And then he's like, oh, that's my line. And I'm like, dude, I got to get the fuck out of my own house.
Absolutely. So he freaks out at this birthday party because the three little pigs that got invited decided to make little pigs out of themselves and ate the fucking birthday cake. Yeah, go ahead.
Just really quickly, just in the montage, you see Shrek like next to Fiona, like, you know, despairing, and he's got his shirt off. This like, A, we got Shrek nipples. B, like, is he like shaving his chest and it's growing back in? It's like a 5 o'clock shadow. Like, also, like, I don't know, dude's hairless. Let's leave it alone.
I can answer all this.
Oh, please.
It's really terribly animated.
Got it.
That's your major. But like, yeah, I guess they're just trying to give him new details because we've seen him so many times at this point.
He does have a 5 o'clock shadow through the whole movie.
So he's got that on his chest, you're saying. Do you think his pubes are 5 o'clock shadowed? Or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's manscaping down there, dude.
Look at my landing strip.
Getting a V shape. Getting a pointing towards.
Follow the trail to paradise.
Try to spice it up.
Paradise be in my unkempt bush.
And he's definitely uncircumcised because he lived in the swamp.
Of course. Yeah, you're not circumcised in that ogre.
I just wonder how big it is because I feel like people would be exaggerating in their mind. I feel like reality Shrek, it would be kind of average, if not small.
Really?
I'm just thinking,
what,
you know,
what do you,
like
the what way do you have this debate.
Penis
about,
size, you mean?
Well, because you watch the other movies, my friends. This guy had no confidence. You know, I feel like if he had a fucking swinging hammer,
sure,
it wouldn't have taken that long to kick out those people from the swamp.
I you know what? I could go either way on actual dick size, but I think he's got like a full Art Garfunkel down there. I don't think he's trimming at all. I think it's about as bushy as it can get.
But later in the film, we see some even bigger ogres, one played by John Hamm, and he's probably got a fucking grandfather clock chiming down there.
John Hamm in every reality has a fucking hammer. That's how that works. You just
Yep. Animated, live action, whatever. Dude's got a huge dick.
It's his contract.
But yes, he does. He does destroy the cake, which is it is a real like yikes moment because like he does do the roar and like you think that that's gonna be the blow up and like everyone cheers because like nobody cares.
Right.
But then it's just him smashing that cake is you're right. It's Cassavetes-esque.
Yeah. I'm telling you, dude, he's ready to fucking get on a plane with his buddies and go to England to fucking escape it all.
All that was missing was him having like 3 or 4 beers around the party earlier.
Yeah. Definitely.
Hey, donkey, get over here. We're going to force this German waitress to sing us a song.
She's just crying.
Poor donkey and puss are just like, okay, we're just, you know, he's going through it, I guess.
He's just getting wasted, just like, you know, I could have had her. Yeah, she's been looking at me all night. If I wasn't married, I'd fuck her. I was like, no, dude.
Meanwhile,
go home, dude. Go home.
Meanwhile, Fiona is dancing with Seymour Cassell and having just the best time.
That guy's a smoothie, man. Look out.
How could you be dancing with Seymour Cassell? He looks like he fought the civil fucking war.
He's got character, Shrek.
Oh, man. But what Shrek fucking says to her is, I used to be an ogre. Now I'm just a jolly green joke.
Yeah.
And she tries to say to him, like, why can't you just see that you have everything? And he's like, it's a fucking... He presses the nuclear button here, man.
Yes.
Because he's just like, you know what, Fiona? I regret ever saving you from that tower.
Yeah, that's a tough
dude,
one.
Dude, your fucking ogre marriage is over.
I should have left you for dead.
Yeah, totally. What a fucking asshole. Our hero, ladies.
Drop dead, bitch.
That's literally at the end of the movie, because I'm like, you know, obviously everything's going to work out. I'm like, how is he ever going to come back from that one? He doesn't have to because it goes back in time. So like, that is the only savior you have is time travel. If you say something like that,
wait a second, I've got a time machine. I'll just go back early and warn him. Don't say that horrible thing to your wife.
You know what, Fiona? Your new best friend, the dragon, should have ate you when she had the chance.
Oh, man. And so he like fucking runs off into the woods. He's like, if I don't get away from them now, I'm going to burn down the whole pizza parlor. Yeah.
Do you think about like there is a pedophile ring underneath it? The thing is about, and that's the tone of this movie, too. We play Fiona being in the castle as like a trauma. And it's like, how about we don't? How about it's just cute? Because in the first movie, like, it's sad, but it's, like, cute and fun and silly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think that that's a better tone than, like, I slept every night by myself, and I was so scared the entire time. I'm like, the fuck am I watching?
Yeah, no, it's really weird. Because it's, like, it's that thing where you have folks now that will look back on, like, fairy tales and whatnot, and it's like, gee, well, nobody was fucking, you know... preventing the seven dwarfs from being creeps or fucking Prince Charming from doing all his kissing and whatnot. And I'm like, yeah, okay. It's totally fine. But also for over here, this is the fourth Shrek movie.
Exactly.
We don't need to be doing any of that because, you know, while you're here trying to address this trauma, this deep trauma that Fiona has faced, can I remind you about 10 minutes ago when someone was fucking farting in a mud and shit filled hot tub?
Yeah.
Okay, this is Shrek fucking 4, folks.
And like Chris said, the guy wanted to fuck a wooden boy earlier. So
It did seem that way, I gotta say.
It's out of the trauma is out of place. You know?
Well, yeah, it's ridiculous because like it's kind of a city slicker situation where you start off way more serious than you need to be.
Absolutely.
But the way to do, like, you would think that would lead to at least kind of new jokes, but the whole movie is just calling back jokes from the last three. Like, I don't know if there's an original joke in here. It's all referencing
that's
old
what
shit.
That's what someone's saying about this podcast. We're just doing jokes for the first three Shrek episodes.
Look, we're coasting, baby. We're a hit too. Let's do it.
But you're so, but also I would also counter, Chris, that you're right. All the jokes are rehashed, but there's just not that many jokes because the tone is so somber. This entire movie, and it's very weird in that way.
It's very weird, and I don't know what I would prefer because I feel like if we had more jokes, which they traditionally do, and song and dance, I would fucking hate it even more somehow. You know?
Yeah, it is easier to ignore the somber stuff than like a grating bad joke.
Yeah.
Well, their option is, because you're right, because what they also do is they load up with action-adventure set pieces.
Yep.
And like, look, that's fine for a Miyazaki movie where it's going to look beautiful and everything.
Yes.
When it's fucking Shrek and it looks like my asshole, like... I just don't understand what you think you're going to get out of this. Like, what thrills are you going to get from Shrek holding onto like a witch's broom for what feels like 15 fucking minutes?
And that's right. Hundreds of animators worked tirelessly to create Chris's asshole.
They got all the veins,
finally,
right?
The first time adapted to the big screen.
All the big hairs. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that green clump there hanging near the hole, we'll call that Shrek.
Yes. Chris, did you ever successfully get off all of those motion capture dots from there, or
I mean,
still
like
still a couple of strays.
Unless I get a mirror back there, I'm never going to know for sure, and I'm not getting a mirror back there.
You gotta invest in that mirror, dude.
Not doing it. I'm sorry. There's a few Rubicons I'm not crossing.
You need
here
to mirror your bathroom floors.
Oh yeah,
you're shit to look like Funfetti for a little while.
So much like the Zodiac Killer or some sort of famous North American serial killer, Rumpelstiltskin fakes car trouble here in order to lure Shrek off
Shrek
the side
has,
of the road.
He's got to help him move a couch into the van.
Dude, he's just like, oh no, my fucking wagon fell on me. I need roadside assistance.
And Shrek is so desperate at this point, he accepts this side quest, which somehow becomes the main quest.
Well, the main quest before the side quest was like he just had to get as far away from that pizza parlor as possible because he was going to kill his whole family.
Yeah.
So this side quest, I think, is more of a story, unfortunately.
The blow up is so funny that like he couldn't keep it together for this one party. So his life is just gone. It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
I mean, it's literally, you do need, again, like, Marty, you fucking, you ruined your life at a birthday party.
Oh man, again?
Aw.
So this is when a deal starts being struck upon.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right. Because Shrek is like laying it all out on the table for this fucking total stranger because they get shit-faced on eyeball martinis in the wagon. And Rumpelstiltskin offers him a solution here. Hey, man, how about you sign this little contract, ogre for a day, you can go be an ogre again, and all I need from you is a day from your childhood. It can be one you don't even remember. You're not going to miss it. What's the deal? Sign on the dotted line, Shrek.
So what is it that he wants? Like, I guess it is just scaring people is what he misses. Which,
I would
like,
love to do that. When they do this montage of him having that ogre power back, no one cares about Shrek anymore. Yep. He's scaring the whole village.
Like, I know. I just like that. Shrek, you love scaring children. You like just getting in their face and making them very sad.
That's right.
I mean, but like it would make more sense. Like, what this is supposed to be a thing. A holder for is sex.
Yes.
Or like eating. Is it actually eating humans? Like, because that would be funny.
Sex is not part of the equation. It's like the whole thing is like, I miss being able to, you know, like I
go
was
out
fucking 22
night.
Going out to the bar every night. It's that guy. I miss my life before kids, which, by the way, for Shrek, his life before kids 100% did not include sex.
But also, he was an incel in the swamp.
It was the same thing he's doing now, just without the kid. Like, literally, you were in the bog still. You were doing the same exact thing. You just didn't have the kids.
Yeah, but people are, like, polite to him, and that's a problem.
Yes, he
possesses the ability to be an anonymous ogre again before celebrity strangled his life. Mm.
Well, that's the problem. And, Chris, you're right, though, because it is... Having the celebrity part confuses it because it should just either be, oh my God, you know, should I have had kids? This is really tough, blah, 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 which is, you know, that's one thing. Or, oh my God, should I be a celebrity? This is really tough. Putting them together waters down both and confuses both.
Well, because he wants to be a celeb, like, he does want to still be a celebrity. He just wants to be a celebrity for scaring people.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Instead of being, like, the prince of the land. Like,
I used to like my early stuff when I was scaring people.
And it was really about the scares back then, not selling a bunch of records. Jesus Christ. Scare records.
Oh, yeah, I didn't like the way that they suggested that a solo career couldn't be just as good as your career before that. I just didn't like the implications of that.
I mean, I truly think it's one and the same thing, though. Right?
Yeah, sure.
It's all about, like, what his life is, and that is both the celebrity, people aren't scared of him, and then the time constraints. You know, he's got kids now. All of this, to me, was just saying, like, I wish I was younger and could be out at the bar every night. Yeah. And, you know.
Because right now his life is a double-edged dog shit. You know?
Yeah.
Dog shit from both ends.
Everything's taken care of. He never has to work. He does not work, period. Like, real hell Shrek's going through. Okay.
I'm collecting unemployment.
No, I mean, she's got, dude, you know what? You look up Fiona on Wikipedia. She got a nice hyperlink on her name. Like, oh, where's Fiona from? Oh, she's the fucking queen. She's got a nice inheritance that they're fucking working off of.
Yes.
By the way, nice. Yeah, you're going to be mad at your wife, who's incredibly loving, probably fucks your brains out, and supports you financially. How dare you, Shrek?
In that living situation, do you think they're really fucking that much? Aren't the kids like, isn't it like one room?
Studio.
I think that's the problem. He's fucking, you know what I mean? Like, you need to drop these things off with the donkeys, on a weekend.
Yeah. But this is on fucking Shrek. If that's your problem, then you've got to get adventurous, and it's on you, Shrek. You go and have sex in the mud bog. go out into a tree. Go fuck on a tree. Do anything. And leave the kids alone, because I mean, like, they're monsters. They're going to be fine.
That's true. They will be fine. You can just, like, chain them up in the backyard.
Yes.
Well, me and Fiona are going to go into a hotel and check in under assumed names. She's Mrs. Johnson McGillicuddy, and I'm FBI agent Anderson Sizlak. And we're going to have hot stranger sex all night.
I'm going to pick her up at the bar.
Oh, do you think your husband will be back soon? Oh, what if he found out about us?
This is what Shrek 4 should have been.
Hello there. Are you in for the plumbing supply catalog conference also?
Why, yes, I am.
Let's get fucking.
I'm the best at cleaning pipes, especially ogre pipes.
Can I buy you a bog drink?
Also, you know what? Good point. Because it's come up a couple times because he's drinking it. He's trying to drink it, and then what's his face ruins it. And then Rumpelstiltskin says, "Can I give you an eyeball teeny? Are these human eyeballs? These are like children's eyeballs."
Ooh, what do you think? Great question.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, maybe it was a thing, Steve, where, like, back in the day, yes, we used child's eyeballs.
Got
you
it.
Know? But now it's 2010. It's Shrek Forever After. It's like, you know, imitation.
Right. Impossible eyeballs.
Yeah. And this is also part of what he is getting pissed off about, obviously, is that I used to be able to eat kids' eyeballs. Now I have to eat some filthy pig's eyeballs.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, to a montage of Top of the World. You got Karen Carpenter singing here. You know, he's literally like an ogre and shit. He's making shit angels in a pigsty.
Loving it.
Oh, it looks a lot of fun, honestly. I would love to be a monster. Oh, my God.
It's so funny, though, dude, because you are such a cleanly person and whatnot. There's no way you're rolling around in mud.
Well, I could be a clean monster, you know?
No, well, there's nothing exciting about those.
Also, the ogre is just showering with mud. I mean, yeah. You're getting out of the mud to get into more mud. I mean, I don't know if you would handle that, Eric. Yeah, I think you'd be really upset.
I think, like, I would have to acclimate to a whole different system. And I think once that's got something down, and especially, you know, if you're in the forests and stuff or the mountains, come across a lake or a river sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Eat some fish, eat some hikers, you know?
I will say, of all of it, I can see you befriending a donkey.
Yes, definitely.
Just a donkey that you believe talks to you. That one is very easy.
Living alone with a donkey in the mountains, that might be my chance at peace, actually.
You're pretty great, man. Then you could entitle your autobiography, Just a Couple of Jackasses.
It's true.
So, you know, he starts discovering, you know, the swamp is actually like a drained wasteland now. His house is totally fucking abandoned. There's wanted signs on the trees for both him and Fiona. You know, it's basically like, you know, Jimmy Stewart running around his fucking town realizing there's just cat houses everywhere.
Yes, exactly. The Pottersville thing. But it's also like, he set back the civil rights movement that now every ogre, it's crazy. He's just like, I want it to be before the Civil Rights Act.
Well, also, when did, I mean, because obviously the point that is like, what do you call it there? A consequence of the first Shrek movie, like all, because in the first one, it's all like, oh, humans versus these like fairy tale disgusto monsters that have to live in fear. And Shrek kind of bridges that gap. And then now, I guess Rumpelstiltskin, not so much. But my question is, like, where did all these fucking ogres come from? There's like thousands of them. And like,
I was really trying to think about this, dude, because like, is there anything in these previous films, like especially the first one, where they say anything about like him being the last of his kind or anything? Because I thought there was, but I couldn't remember. You know, and I had the same thought, like, where? Why aren't we seeing these folks introduced earlier?
Well, the problem there is you're mixing things up. You're thinking of Sean Connery saying, I am the last one in Dragonheart. And it sounds a lot like Shrek. I give you that. So that close.
What happened was, I believe, like all the other ogres saw Shrek and they were like, I'm like that guy? And they all killed themselves.
I see.
Then in this version where he was, you know, poofed away by a great Dr. Rumpelstiltskin, you know, they don't have that shame of looking like Shrek.
Sure.
True.
I mean, they don't look exactly like Shrek. They look somewhat like Shrek, but are bigger. They're all more muscular, which is a point.
Yeah. A lot of physically fit ogres, especially that John Hamm ogre. That was doing it for somebody.
He was so hot as Brogan. I bet you... Someone is obsessed with this guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Why does this ogre have such tight pants? In the design, I don't understand why this Brogan has tight pants and a little bulge there.
Well, because that's like the one that's being voiced by John Hamm.
Oh, okay. You should make the bulge bigger then. The bulge should be much bigger.
The Shrek getting captured, you have this big, one of the many action sequences where these two witches, and they have like spawn chains that have like teeth on them and green goblin pumpkin bombs. And I'm like,
dude, we're fucking gassing this ogre.
It's just like, what am I watching anymore? Like, where is it? Shouldn't they be like making Nike jokes or something? You know what I mean? Like they have Nike sneakers or something cute like that.
Wow, Shrek and Chains, this is pretty upsetting. You know, a fucking Smash Mouth song would fix the mood immediately.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, and I also like your idea, Steve, of Rumpelstiltskin making the world a Nike sweatshop.
It does appear like he's got some sort of sweatshop thing going on, doesn't he?
Well, he's enslaved these ogres. They're like moving the drawbridge and stuff, you know?
Yeah, a lot of that going on.
We
see
the gingerbread man cookie guy is now a gladiator in this world.
Yeah,
well, I mean, because that's the thing, right? This is the Pottersville thing of like everything, because it's under control of Rumpelstiltskin, much like, you know, alternate 1985 ruled by Biff Tannen. Like, everything is fucking shit. Everything is fucking terrible. And the only ones living high on the hog are the people high up in society. So here we go, folks. The movie, in some way, is trying to say something.
You know, one day there was supposed to be a giant green hulking ogre and a donkey. And I was supposed to give him one of these.
never thought that giant hulking ogre was going to be you.
Yeah, my stepson. You're supposed to be in boarding school in Switzerland.
I love it. Oh, the fucking thing with the gingerbread man that I thought was like kind of funny is his whole thing is, yeah, he's all like tough, like gladiatorial kind of looking, but he's fighting off animal crackers for the purposes of gambling.
Yes.
I'd watch a little short about that. Like, Disney Plus keeps making all these horrendous fucking Simpsons shorts and whatnot. Like, Lisa plays the saxophone with Billie Eilish and whatever the fuck. Oh, dumb Maggie, shit like that.
Maggie versus the Very Bad Day.
Yeah, all that. It's fucking abysmal, right? Do those with Shrek, but it's just this shit. It's like Gingerbread Man in death fights for gambling. Yeah. And it's like, it's like 4 minutes. He's killing cookies, eating them.
Yeah.
So you have cookie cannibalism. Oh, you know?
That's cool. And then he goes cookie crazy.
Exactly.
Cookie Thunderdome, I'd like. You know what I mean?
He gets dough dementia from eating his
dough lust.
Cookie flesh.
Oh, wow. It's like I'm absorbing all their cookie life forces.
I'm going to drill a little hole in this cookie and he's going to be a zombie for me. I feel the spirit. I feel the spirit of all the egg and sugar just rushing through me at all times.
Oh, man. So, yeah, like Rumpelstiltskin lives in a castle where it's like a fucking dance club for witches all the time. And everybody's doing coke and he's sitting behind a velvet robe.
And this looks like shit. Doesn't it, folks?
Terrible.
It sure does.
It's just so muddy and nothing. And like a big witch party should be like fun. And like, think about like Nightmare Before Christmas or something where everything has a crazy detail, like go full fucking Halloween on it.
Yeah.
But here it's just like, all the witches look the same, and they all move the same, and everything is a big mass of nothing.
Well, you see, it's better if we just have a lot of them, and they all look like crap, than have a couple that look good. That's just good math right there.
It reminded me of, in the late 90s, I was really interested in fun screensavers.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everybody enjoyed a fun screensaver.
Yeah.
And I would get fun screensavers for around the holidays, you know? So, like, come Thanksgiving time, you know, a little Tom Turkey walking around on screen.
Oh, that's
or
fun.
Christmas, sure. You have a Santa Claus or whatever. In October, you know, Halloween time and whatnot, it would be like, you know, here are the mummies walking across the screen. Here's a Dracula. They're all having a party. Like, we're talking, like, 1996.
Yeah.
It basically yesterday watching this dance club sequence kind of reminded me of that. Just a bunch of poorly rendered witch and other pseudo Halloween characters dancing.
A flying toaster went by. Yeah.
I mean, to your point, it does. They all have about the same detail as the dancing baby.
Yes.
Yep. That's about the level we're dealing with here. And like, but then because Rumpelstiltskin's a main character, they're like, okay, he can have big eyes and maybe a little bit of a face, but the rest of it goes down to shitter.
Yes. And so they bring him to Rumpelstiltskin. It's like, oh, Shrek, what are you doing here? And Shrek fucking puts it together. He's like, you took the day I was born. And it's like, yeah, sure fucking did. And Rumpelstiltskin says to him that at the end of this day, Shrek, when the sun sets, your fucking green ass is dead, dude.
And in case you can't fucking get that through your head, here's a gigantic, ridiculous hourglass. And it's going to do some fun stuff, and that's going to remind you that you die.
It's almost as if this movie has a clock, you see, and that's the clock.
A clock that blissfully only runs to 96 minutes.
God bless.
Yeah. Just fucking putting that out there.
Then he, like, escapes through... Oh, by the way, he's already met the donkey, we should say. Like,
right.
When he's,
the donkey does not believe any of his tall tales about this supposed past.
The fun donkey gags, he's like a radio for the two witches, and that's just whatever. It's just Eddie Murphy singing, which, well, you know, sure, it's fun.
Oh, I mean, it was in the first one, and everybody liked the first one, so it has to be in everybody has to do it all the time for the rest of the movies.
And but this is where, like, yeah, he escapes by, like, stealing a witch's broom, and he flies around.
This is like watching somebody else play a video game, and I am just disinterested. It just looks so bad.
Yeah. I mean, sure they do a whole, like, they bring him in shackles, and then, like, the whole, I didn't like any of this imagery, I'll be honest with
you.
Yeah,
sure.
But like, yeah, when they come to the fight scene, it literally just feels like a run through, like something you would show people to sell on a bigger project. Is what this kind of looked like.
I think they're trying to like lean in on, I guess maybe they're trying for more of a, I'm not saying they succeeded, but like spatial relationship, because they have the giant chandelier ball thing that comes into play for the big chase. It flies around the room. Eventually it seals the exit behind them. And this is sort of what we were talking about before, about how it's trying to be like action set pieces instead of the Shrek you all know and don't like as well.
Yeah. But it's weird, though, because it's not like those other movies are absent of adventure sequences at all. They're chock full of
like
them.
Like the run for the tower, the first one. Yeah, they definitely have them.
Giant gingerbread man at the second
one. Fiona has a little Matrix fight, but it's funny, or it's supposed to be funny.
It's not. Yeah. Honestly, that's the thing. That's the thing. It's like, I don't know what I want, because I never want any Shrek. And it's like, do I want them referencing 90s movies not every 5 seconds? Not really. Do I want them not to do that? Not really.
Oh, yeah. I will say also, this is very much the first movie that's in 3D.
Oh, so that must be it. That's what I was picking up.
Definitely leaning it. They're definitely leaning into that. Like all this stuff is like the ball is coming at you.
And like those movies, like once you get them away from 3D, it looks incredibly flat. Yes, Everything looks very flat. And that's, I think, is part of like why all the animation looks, I mean, the animation never looked good in these movies, but like, especially in this one, I found it really chunky and like really bland. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's bad. I mean, I think actually in the scene right here, when they are riding, I mean, well, not right here, but when he's riding to the castle, you know, and Donkey's pulling the wagon or whatever, what they do, I think it's the shot where they go way like ahead of Donkey. Maybe it's not this. There's a part where the camera really goes in tight on a wagon, like horse-drawn wagon, and we're doing like a camera's going through the wagon, and as it approaches all the horses, I remember thinking like, those look terrible.
Yes,
like just absolutely poorly rendered.
The castle too, like Rumpelstiltskin's whole thing, it just like looks really lazily done. It looks like something that modern day like Netflix would put on one of their like the Boss Baby TV show.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
It's just cheap as hell.
We should say, speaking of Netflix and all that stuff, the goose, Rumpelstiltskin has a fun little goose that's next to him. That's directly from the Puss in Boots movie, which come out next year. Like somebody was cheating on somebody else's paper, and I'm like, you can't have this goose in both movies.
And now, in the Puss in Boots, I was trying to remember this. The Puss in Boots movie, it's the goose that laid the golden egg.
Yes, it's like this enormous goose, but it's the same kind of character design. Like the joke is in both of them that geese have these horrific teeth, which is funny because geese are kind of gross. And like that's kind of what they're leading into in both instances, and it's not.
But this movie though, we see nary a golden egg laid. No. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was. So why are you posing this to me like it's a deposition?
And I'm just, oh well, Steve, surprise! You are here. This is a fucking Senate hearing on Shrek animation.
I'm taking notes for the Washington Post right now.
Now, Mr. Sadek, could you read the top paragraph, please?
There is a goose in both films.
And you say this lays golden eggs.
I thought maybe this goose was possibly a reference to...
Let's try to read the statement without your commentary, please, Mr. Sadek.
Mother goose, possibly.
Now, you do know the definition of a cinematic universe, don't you? They might be trying to set something up here.
Mr. Sadek.
Both movies.
Sadek, is there a Mother Goose in this film, though?
She's not referred to as such, sir.
That's interesting. That's interesting. I believe you're lying to this council.
I mean, it's just, it's really stupid to have a huge goose in this movie and not have it fucking lay an egg.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't really do anything. So whatever.
No, it just hisses at people.
It does, which is kind of fun. I was like a goose hissing. He escapes, and now we're on the road, and this is when he starts crying, and Donkey decides to help him, and Donkey's like, oh, if I look at your contract, I can find the loophole in it through origami. Origami.
Mm-hmm. Origami, in this case, being like what you did at the back of the Mad magazine.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not like actual origami. No,
it's just like putting a thing together in a weird, stupid way. and it's a piece of paper, and Donkey does it wrong the first time.
Yeah.
And then Shrek does it the right
try,
way.
Try, lose, bliss.
Yes.
Oh, it's actually supposed to be true love's kiss.
Well,
I mean, try lose bliss. Maybe, I mean, that might have been more of a Buddhist, you know, maybe that's what he's supposed to be trying to do.
Mm-hmm. It's just kind of funny that, like, Donkey's like, hey, here's this thing I know how to do with all of Rumpelstiltskin's contracts, and I'm the only one that knows how to, like, fold it amongst the two of us, so I'm going to do my little donkey folding here. And then Shrek is just like, you're doing it wrong, and, like, fixes it. And I was like, but you didn't even know.
Yeah.
But then you just, okay. Well, whatever, movie.
Sure, yeah.
It's a cartoon, right?
Yeah, you love those.
Well, how are we ever going to find Fiona? Well, it's only a 96-minute movie. Oh, they're trapped by ogres, and she's one of the ogres. There you go.
These are ogre freedom fighters, my friend. They are, because of Shrek setting back the universe, this is what has to come to this physical violence against the state.
There's a fucked up thing here. Like Donkey's like, yeah, true love's kiss. Okay, that's what it says. They've deduced, oh, I got to find Fiona. Another of these, like, oh, it was so damaging for her to be in this tower.
Yes.
They go to the tower and she's gone. And he pulls back this fucking curtain and there's a wall filled with hash marks for like she's been in like prison. I mean, she is in prison, but you know what I mean? Like, just like, these are all the days that I fucking spent in this tower. And I'm like, I fucking saw Shrek 1.
Yes.
Okay. But also like, I don't need that kind of I don't need to be thinking about that. It's a fucking Shrek movie. He farted in a mud puddle. Like, come on.
That's the problem with the whole fucking thing. Like, from the beginning, like, it's drama where there should be jokes. Like, yes. I don't fucking care about this shit.
No, and I mean, like, how about, like, a fun joke about, like, she got, like, Tiger Beat posters all over.
Yes.
Like,
yep.
She was a teenage girl, et cetera, et cetera.
They're actual tigers?
There you go. Dude.
Like, tiger people?
We just punched up a script. That's there perfect.
Yep. Look at that.
There it is. It's an easy punch-up.
Tiger Beat magazine, and the cover art is a picture of an ogre punching a tiger in the face.
I love
A big brawny fucking ogre.
Yeah, exactly. It's the John Hamm ogre. He's fucking punching a tiger. So, yeah, they do get captured.
Oh, sorry. Then Dylan Baker walks in and starts jerking.
Oh, no! Listen, if I had one of me friends sleep over, would you be peering in the room doing stuff?
Dylan
Shrek. I just jerk off.
Dylan Baker ogre, man. Yikes. That's too much.
Yeah. No, that's, you know what? Then the Ogarian genocide needs to commence.
They wouldn't even let him be the lizard.
It's such a I really think that's it. I mean, like, I like Dylan Baker as an actor.
Yes.
I think that movie just ruined his career so hard. Everyone's like, I don't like that guy. Like, you know what I mean?
He was too good.
Well,
too good.
All of a sudden, everyone's seen a Todd Solondz movie, and it had to be that one. You know what I mean? That's unfair.
I think you're totally right, Steve. And Eric, I think you're totally right, too. But it's weird because, like, other people have dodged this, right? Like Kevin Bacon in that fucking Woodsman movie.
He's doing just fine.
Jackie Earle Haley got to be in Watchmen, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I mean, it's just, and it must only be, Eric, like you said, because he did it so well.
He did it so well.
It made an impression, and I think probably that definitely derailed the lizard, I think.
Yes.
That probably in a world that happiness does not come out in, he does get to play the lizard at some point.
Yes.
But I will say, he took those talents to TV, and he's been doing fantastic.
Okay.
In The Americans, he is unfucking believable.
Oh. My God, dude. Yes. I forgot about him on that show. Exquisite fucking
incredible performance. Just incredible.
So, yeah, we're in what is, like, oddly, it's like an underground city almost filled with these resistance ogres. This is where we indeed meet John Hamm as Brogan and Fiona, leader of the resistance. And when she comes out, it's slow-mo, the wind is blowing, she's got long red hair, all this shit, and Shrek is just horny all over again.
Yep. Yeah.
Those big green animated titties are bouncing, dude, so don't worry about it.
I mean, you're 20.
Is it cold in this underground resistance bunker or what?
Hey, you 24-year-olds, you liking that, huh? Yeah, I bet you liking that.
You like Laura Croft, get a load of Laura Barfed.
pardon me.
Ogre lady.
Lord, oh, sure.
We're gonna punch that one up too. Don't worry.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
Well, I mean, wouldn't it just be you like Laura Croft? Here's Laura Crap.
yeah, I'm laughing at that. Even still. But I mean,
yeah,
like,
no, it's not great. It's not great.
Look,
you know?
We're stuck in Mad Magazine here.
I was using barf to try to get towards green.
Sure. I see that. Yeah.
Sometimes I thought you just wanted to talk about John Candy.
I do want to talk about John Candy. He probably puked green once or twice, maybe St. Paddy's Day.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah, too many fucking green-orange whips.
Yeah. they dye the beer sometimes or whatever?
They do,
yep.
Yeah.
They do indeed. They dye the fucking river in Chicago.
Which is crazy.
It's very
What are you
gross.
Guys doing out there?
Yeah, I don't know.
So
they should put a bunch of hot dogs in the river. That would do it.
No, we're not having another hot dog discussion.
It's a river of hot dogs.
Oh, yeah. Drown me in that, baby.
There would be some dirty water dogs. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, totally. I ate this hot dog and got cancer.
It'd be cool if you could go fishing and just pull up hot dogs.
Yeah. I got a six pack here, hon. I pulled up a six pack right from the river.
They're ballpark franks. Throw them back.
Oh, these cocktail weenies, they're not big enough yet. Put them back in the water.
A guy next to me pulled out a bratwurst this big. Not kidding you. A bratwurst this fucking big.
I got to put it on my wall.
Maybe some soggy bread down there, too.
All right.
Buns happening.
So, also, we've got Craig Ferguson shows up. Not Craig Ferguson. I always
Robinson.
Craig Robinson. I always do that. Craig Robinson is in this. And, like, he's got, and I mean, you want to talk about old ass jokes that just always never age well, is you, they're planning the big offensive, and he's like, and I'll be over here with a chimichanga stand, and I'm like, fucking, yep. It's just that Simpsons gag when Homer goes to Clown College, like, here's a list of funny words, cucamonga, you know what I mean, chimichanga. Yeah, yeah. It's just a funny word that we just love to say.
That's why
we?
People say it all the time, right? I don't even think I've ever had one.
Oh, first of all,
what is it?
Fix that immediately.
Fantastic.
Well, like I go to like a Mexican restaurant or something, they've got like, you know, real stuff on the menu. What is a chimichanga?
It's basically a deep fried burrito, kind of.
Yes. So yeah, this is like 7-Eleven stuff, right?
No, you can get chimichangas in Mexican restaurants. Absolutely.
Can you?
Yes, it's like, you know, it's a Tex-Mex thing more than not, but it's
that's the problem.
They're quite delicious. It's a deep fried burrito, man. That place, you know, you got some. Sometimes they'll melt like cheese on top of it and whatnot.
I'm sure it's good. I'm sure
interesting.
I love all that slop.
In place of origin, Tucson, Arizona. So we'll have to try one out in Phoenix when we're there later this year.
Oh.
Great idea. Yeah, there Tucson, nice town. Been there as well. It's good good spot.
I do have to underline it though, Eric. They are real. Okay. Real. Chimichanga does exist.
I thought it was like a fucking, you know, I thought it was like maybe, you know, a white suburban 7-Eleven thing that Deadpool had to reference.
You're thinking about taquitos.
Yes. 7-Elevens are at taquitos, but that's Deadpool definitely a chimichanga thing. And I was like, what are the dates of the movies here? And this is 2010. And that first Deadpool movie wasn't until 6 years later. And the only thing I wanted to throw out to you, Steve, are chimichangas baked into the comedy of the comic line? Or was that for the movie?
Yes, Senator, as far as I can recall, yes, they do actually. No, they do actually reference that. He's making chimichanga jokes for a very long time.
Okay.
Yes.
So my theory about the Deadpool writers being influenced by Shrek Forever After.
Thank God.
Not a lot of weight.
But
to
I just
that.
Think it was all in the same air of just like, silly word, chimichanga. Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, Mr. Sadak, but don't you know the whole backstory of Deadpool, don't you, sir?
Yes, Senator. I mean, I'm not an expert,
what was his real name?
Wade Wilson, sir.
Arrest my case. Look at the boy. Able to answer.
This man is a loser.
Look at his little Willie getting all hard thinking about comic book history.
Guilty of being a loser. Worst crime in America.
You get the death penalty, son, because you're a loser.
I did a gavel with a beer can, though.
I like it. I do. Dude, I've been tried and executed for being a loser.
You know who else is supposed to be a loser in this movie is fucking Puss in Boots, because he put on a few pounds. These fucking assholes with this fucking
I will say, though, you want to talk about things from comic book movies that might have been watching Shrek the Fourth. This is just Fat Thor, isn't it, folks?
Yep.
And that is, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's your intrepid hero, and he got fat.
He should at least like have a position in Rumpelstiltskin's government if we're going to do the fat cat, right?
Yeah, like if you made him evil, that would be interesting. I mean, the thing that you could do, because this franchise ain't above it, folks. He's just fucking a total catnip head. Like, he's a total cokehead. Yeah. Play it that way. Yeah, play it like he's a cokehead, and he's totally fucking useless to Fiona. And, you know, whatever, man. Then you're not making these fucking lazy fat jokes.
He runs into Shrek at the outhouse because he's already in there doing catnip, right?
Yeah.
So, dude, like a little Carlito's Way spinoff kind of thing. Heart of Glass is playing. He's at the catnip club.
Oh, yeah.
Driving totally, a Ferrari everywhere.
Just this beautiful shot of Puss in Boots just slowly walking down the stairs, or Puss in Boots' girlfriend maybe walking down the stairs while Heart of Glass plays. Yeah, it's just, I really fucking hate this. Like, it's just so lazy. It's like, how can we show a character fell on hard times or might be depressed? Well, he's just a fat piece of shit, isn't he?
I think they thought it would be like super cute for the kiddos, you know? Sure, like, look, a little fat cat just like ours, we don't feed properly.
Fat comedy is, I mean, it's still a boon at the time, 2010. Oh, we're still seeing it. And I think part of his depression had to be that his friend, Puss in Socks, got chainsawed in the bathroom.
Yes.
And, after that, you can't really blame him for what happens. You know, it's hard going through that stuff.
My friend was chainsawed in the bathroom. Now I am obese. You know, I should have never trusted Robert the Loja Cat. Chimichangas are the only real evil left.
I couldn't get it out of my mind. I had to have Michelle Pfeiffer cat. I just had to have her.
I mean,
I get it. I get it.
It's a pretty good pussy.
Oh!
Hey-o! Swish!
Yep. I'm wearing my loserdom very well right now. So this is how that works.
Once you're convicted, I mean, it's ego.
Exactly.
Wild.
It's actually quite freeing.
Very, very true. You're going to have a good night's sleep tonight in your cell.
Loser cell.
It's solitary confinement. They call it the loser's cell. You don't have any friends in there.
All of this is me trying to avoid having to bring up the Pied Piper doing a flute Beastie Boy.
Oh, dude. That hurt my asshole.
I tell you, I am not a praying man. I am not a praying man at all. When that fucking music cue happened, I got on my knees and looked up to the heavens and I said, God, I promise I will never make fun of the fucking Kelvin timeline Star Trek movies using the Beastie Boys ever again. I am so sorry.
You know what's funny about that is I did essentially the same thing, but I got down my knees, looked up, and I was like, God, you're clearly not there. I'm just going to say whatever for the rest of my life. See you later.
One good note on this, though, it's like the Pied Piper comes in as this badass bounty hunter, which is funny enough of an idea. But hey, they keep him silent besides the tunage, right? So look at that.
Played by William Steig's son, by the way.
The flute part. Yeah.
Yes. He just basically
William Steig, the guy who wrote the Shrek kids.
Yes. He's a New York royalty, and his son, obviously, if you're New York royalty, has to become a jazz flutist. So that's how that works.
What else are you gonna do?
Of course. Yeah.
That's your job. That becomes a job, you know?
Man, what are you gonna do? Start doing a tenor sax? No. You're gonna do a flute.
A jazz flautist. Talk about the only true evil left.
Oh, man. Yeah, so they play that Sure Shot and all the witches have to dance.
Yep.
And that proves that how good he is, and we now have to pay the piper. And then I guess he's going to go off and try to get these ogres.
This is, of course, after Rumpelstiltskin has just killed one of his witches by throwing water in her face.
Yeah, that was pretty surprising.
I was pretty nuts.
Pretty okay with that. Yeah.
I mean that it was kind of had an untouchable. It was kind of untouchable scene. I figured. Yes. Trying to reference.
Oh yeah, it's fucking Kill Bill.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that whole thing of like the villain is having a board meeting with all the supporters. You know, the Joker does similar activities like this, you know, where it's like there's someone who's underperforming and to send a message to the rest of the goon squad, you fucking kill that underperformer horribly in front of everyone else.
Love that Joker.
And it, but,
hell yeah.
And again, like, it would be cool if these, if you, you've got Christian Schell, I think Mary Kay's Place is one of these two. Like, just make these witches look like characters. And then, like, I'm like, oh, what are the witches up to? As opposed to just like a room full of fucking Halloween store witches.
Make one an actual character, maybe as a right hand, you know, woman or whatever.
Exactly.
And build that relationship up with Rumpelstiltskin and.
And
do
like,
something.
Maybe she's fucking, you know, disillusioned with the regime. So, like, she flips and helps Shrek or something.
Right, or like feeds intel to the resistance, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Look, we're doing it again. We're fucking fixing the movie.
I mean, speaking of the resistance, we get back down there. Donkey's down there as well now. And we get a Guillermo del Toro moment here.
Yes,
where
we do.
I almost had a heart attack. It's so haunting.
It's but more, like, more eye trauma here, huh?
So Donkey is drinking stew. Eye stew, I guess, and pushes the, I mean, the physics of he pushes the eyeballs up through his nostrils so they come out the tip of his nose, and then the shot is the eyeballs in the nose and his jaw talking for about a minute, and I don't think Wes Craven has anything on that. I don't think anybody's got anything on this.
You know, I saw that happen, and you know what I did? I went, real monsters.
See, it's terrifying for us who know about organs and stuff, but for little babies, it's like, you know, like a cute Teletubby type of moment, you know?
Yeah, I guess
that's true.
So. Yes. Very cute.
The advice that Shrek has been given, by the way, is like, oh, well, listen, if this whole thing is you want to get close to Fiona for this true love's kiss, the way to her heart is working out and training for the big D-Day operation they have coming here.
Oh, boy.
So he's, like, trying to fucking fall in love. Do, like, battle with her or whatever. And she's like, you're going to get yourself killed in this ambush tonight. You know, they're planning on raiding Rumpelstiltskin or whatever. And so it's just them, like, fighting for a while. I will say, legitimate laugh. It's just these two ogres standing in front of each other, punching each other in the face.
Yeah.
Kind of funny. Kind of, because
I'm a sucker for somebody calling somebody by the wrong name. She calls him Scott at one point. I laughed.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny. I just it's like the easiest way to get a laugh out of me is a popular character. One person gets his name wrong. I'm it's always gonna happen.
Oh yeah.
Did you laugh when Donkey says, "That's redonkulous"?
I did not, Senator. So, I'm still a loser, but not that big of a loser.
Well, I didn't laugh when Donkey says redonkulous, but I did laugh when Puss in Boots says redonkulous. He's the one that says it.
Oh,
Donkey. Donkey says, that was a catastrophe.
Yeah.
And the only reason I laughed is because you have Antonio Banderas going, don't you mean it's more redonkulous? And I was like, you know what? Him saying redonkulous, pretty funny.
Mr. Jupiter, you tell me that you laughed at redonkulous coming from a Shrek 4 movie.
Senator, I've been known to laugh at the use of redonkulous in many occasions.
I answer the question, Mr. Jupiter. Did you laugh at Shrek 4 when they said redonkulous?
Yes, that was a legitimate.
All right, we got another guilty of being a loser. Put him in the cell. We need to get another cell going.
Put them in cells next to each other. Let them talk. They won't be able to talk about nothing because they're losers and can't hold conversations.
Dude, I need a fucking Edward R. Murrow to expose you fuckers for your loser witch hunt. You're not fit to wear that uniform, you loser!
Good night and good loser.
I also like the idea of Antonio Banderas not as being a non-native English speaker, not really getting that joke. I'd be like, ¿cómo se dice redonkulous?
I don't know. Maybe Melanie Griffith is a big user of redonkulous.
That's true. Like,
I used to hear it around the house all the time in my last marriage.
So around here we get Shrek and Fiona spar each other, and Shrek is a bit clumsy, we come to find.
Mm.
Let's throw to the clip.
Interesting. Yeah, I wish. Well, I was already talking about them punching each other in the face. What other clumsiness happens?
Yes, but this, but this is also the clumsiness, and just want to circle back to that, Andrew, because the violence, very close to sex, and this cartoon wants you to know it.
Mm-hmm. They want
they're flirt fighting. They're flirt fighting for sure.
We interviewed a medieval historian to see if the fighting in Shrek Forever After was realistic. You fucking see this shit?
What?
No. Some motherfucker was like, we interviewed someone to talk about whether or not the violence on House of the Dragon is realistic. And I was like,
who cares?
Motherfuckers. It's a show with dragons in it.
Pardon me. Did you ever happen to read the title of that there show? It's got a fake animal right in there. Yeah, you're sentenced to being a loser. We've got it. We got him.
I mean, it was, I don't know if it was IndieWire. It was somewhere. It was like, we interviewed so-and-so who's got a PhD in diddly fuck about whether or not the violence on that show is realistic. And I was like, folks, I don't know. Review another movie that you didn't review, because this fucking clickbait shit is embarrassing.
Having gone over the documents, watching the first two episodes of House of the Dragon, seems like there is magic in this show. And if there's magic in the show, why are you talking to me about realism? Why are you doing that? It's a magic show, sir.
So they do this sting operation, and it turns out it's a total fucking setup job, because in the carriage is not Rumpelstiltskin, but it's actually, the Pied Piper, and we get yet another action sequence here.
And oh, by the way, they're missing, Shrek and Fiona miss the siege because they're like flirt talking and stuff, and like this is when he really talks about, I know everything about you. I know you cried yourself to sleep by candlelight for 15 years. Hey, are you getting it was fucking dark in there? It's like that, you know, let's make Shrek more like that movie Room. How about that?
And I impregnated you three times.
Like, come on, folks. But so yeah, like,
when I rescued you from the tower, we stepped outside and you went, what's all this? And I went, it's a field. And then you went, well, the only world I've known is that tower. It was like Room.
Very dark shit here for Shrek Forever After.
But Brie Larson gives a powerhouse performance.
She does.
Yeah, I mean, but yes, while this is happening, Rumpelstiltskin has captured all the Sandinistas. So now, I mean, Fiona is pissed. Even if she wasn't pissed before, now she's furious at him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're forced to dance as well. And what's this? Thank the Lord for Donkey and Puss in Boots. They got a wagon now, and they run through, get Fiona and Shrek. They fall into this wagon. I don't know how they both don't die from the weight of those beasts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But and then they go off into the horizon to get away from the songs, and then off a cliff, because this is an action movie here.
Oh yeah. Point of order, gotta point out, whenever we get into fucking pervert palooza with these movies, and here it comes in this whole sequence, all the fucking ogres are dancing and whatnot, and they have this shot where Fiona, much like some sort of beach blanket Jackie Treehorn party, flies up in the air, and we are doing slow-mo, like, look at this glistening. And I get it's this character is voiced by Cameron Diaz, one of the most beautiful people to ever exist on the face of the earth. It doesn't translate into Fiona the ogre being sexy. Just,
it depends on whether you like the big old green titties. It's your that's your question, dude.
Glistening green bosom and whatnot, you know. Uh-huh. And I'm just, man, fucking puked out.
No, I think the American people are supposed to very much relate to this, you know?
Yeah, they like their cartoons curvy.
Most Americans look like ogres. That's no surprise. And they could see their own lives reflected in the beautiful opera that is Shrek Forever After.
So whatever, like, now Fiona's furious with Shrek. She even kisses him, like, as a, like, you know what, fine, I'm going to fucking kiss you, I'll kiss you. Because he thinks the second she kisses him, everything will go back to normal. Uh-oh, she actually doesn't love him when she kisses him, so nothing happens. And now we're sad yet again.
Oh, no. But now But yep. Rumpelstiltskin is offering a deal of a lifetime. I guess this is, we get, of course, a callback to the mirror guy from the first one who's like telling everybody about this deal and like, hey, if you bring us Shrek, you get. I guess whatever. But, we don't want to really have details here because we're lazy as shit and this is a fourth fucking movie. Chris, let's just say it will work.
You're glossing over one detail is that the mirror guy says, and now this is supposed to be a dig at Rumpelstiltskin, where he says there's a message from your tyrannical dictator. And it's just like, you mean the king? Because that's the fucking definition of a king. Just say king.
And FYI, there's no such thing as a good king or a good queen.
No,
if you can believe it.
Yeah, you know, whatever you want to put in your scrumpet, that's fine by me. Just don't talk about it.
Oh, well, there is one good queen, and it was fronted by Freddie Mercury.
That's true. R.I.P. Now that's a sad death.
No, that is, that is a tragedy.
Oh, but his whole thing, when the mirror is showing folks that, like, out in the street, it's supposed to be like a like their TV broadcast kind of a deal. It's definitely Rumpelstiltskin doing like a like TV infomercial thing.
Yeah, yes.
Which I thought was kind of funny the way this is all structured. But yeah, the whole thing is basically like there's a bounty on Shrek's head. If you fucking bring Shrek and turn him in, you get a deal of a lifetime, which I took to believe, it's like a, you know, just carte blanche, like... Whatever you want, Rumpelstiltskin's going to give it to you. So this now is like fucking John Wick, where like the land of far, far away is populated entirely by assassins who are all coming for Shrek's head.
And honestly, it would have been more interesting if they leaned further into this, or maybe this was more of the plot of the movie in some way.
Because do it earlier.
It kind of just fizzles out. I mean, the cookie monster, oh, not that one. The gingerbread guy comes out looking for him. It'd be cool if Cookie Monster fought Shrek or fuck Shrek. Draw that on DeviantArt.
The gingerbread man comes out, but then Puss eats him because he's fat.
Yeah.
Right. That's the big joke.
That. But that reminded me of what I wanted a little bit in this, because this is a alternate timeline that will evaporate. Let's get some stakes. Like, at a certain point in the big fight, Donkey gets... eaten by the dragon, but then she spits him out. Like, no, what if she just ate him? I mean, I know that's pretty dark. Maybe that's far too dark for this movie, but like, that's he's gonna evaporate anyway.
I like it. It sets up how they have to go back in time.
Yes.
I think you don't have to go move too many places for this to get dark, Steve. Yes. I think that's dark already. I mean, there's this weird psychosexual moment where Pinocchio carts Geppetto in painted green and is like, perform for them. Come on. You're Shrek. Come on. Do it for me, you bastard. You made me.
It is funny where I think Rumble says, that's just your dad painted green. He's like, no, it's not. Which is, you know, it's
close to you. His nose grows. And then we could have had a reprise here of, how about I make you a real boy in the back room? How about I take you in the back room?
Yeah, to make it clear. Get more intention in Rumpelstiltskin's voice.
Yeah. Make it really, really change the scene.
Or hire Dylan Baker, the ruined actor.
Todd Solondz, Shrek 4.
Oh, God.
But
you know, better movie, definitely.
Oh, for sure.
Shrek realizes that Fiona's never going to love him, so he's got to do something. He's got to set things right. So he turns himself in, and his wish is that all ogres are set free, which is like, you know, that's very nice. And Fiona will, and he's also, this is a move, by the way. This is totally,
no.
I, you know, you're just helping an old lady on the subway looking at somebody else. Like, huh? Well, you see what I'm doing? See what I'm doing?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I'm not doing it for you, old lady. I'm doing it for all those other people to see how great I am.
They're all going to go home and tell their partners about me. Mm-hmm. They're just going to say, I saw this nice man on the subway today, and he was being so nice. I'll be known by millions.
Yeah, you look like an ogre.
But Fiona is not removed because she's not all ogre, which is, you get into weird territory, but sure.
Dude,
but
this is Rumpelstiltskin talking about some pure blood shit. And I was like, uh-oh, Shrek 4.
You got to respect that he found a loophole, though, right?
He did. Like, yeah, that's his gimmick.
Yeah, that is his. Yeah, it's his.
Now, Shrek, just wait. I have to get my calipers out real quick.
So it's the big last fight. The dragon shows up and Donkey realizes that he likes the dragon. So they're like flirting and, you know, that's something.
They do like a Luke Skywalker wrapping the fucking cord around the AT-AT.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They put the they fly around. They're both chained together on the same chain And, you know, up in the ceiling is where it's like connected or whatever. So they're flying around like Cirque du Soleil shit, basically. And they wrap Dragon up in the chains.
Yeah, this is some BDSM.
And she falls down. Yeah, oh, yeah. So doing it for somebody.
It is. Absolutely.
Meanwhile, all the ogres have pulled like a Trojan horse situation because Rumpelstiltskin is getting a new huge like disco ball delivered. And then, all these ogres pop out of there and start fucking and fighting and whatnot.
It's a big battle scene at the end of your Shrek movie. It's not a joke to be found. It's awesome. I love it. No, love it.
Yep. Well, the joke is you paid for it.
And they win, but like the sun is rising and it's like, we never fell in love. And, you know, well, Shrek is...
I want to mention real quick, please. Steve, that the chimichangas came into play at the last fight.
They sure
too.
Did.
Thank God.
They're being thrown around and people being hit by them, and laughs abound.
It's true. You know, there was a joke.
We didn't forget to bring back classic chimichanga jokes.
Chimichangas. Did they say chinchilla too? Did they have another fun word there for the double up?
Oh, man. That's kind of a mythical beast from a magical forest too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, look at donkey. Looks like we're going to have to travel to Walla Walla, Washington.
I'm originally from Cucamonga.
It's all stupid. All the, you know what's funny though is while Shrek, like Fiona's like, oh no, the sun's coming up or whatever, Shrek is literally disintegrating in front of our eyes.
Oh yeah.
Kind of the biggest laugh of the movie.
And she kisses him on his way out and he disappears and they're like,
too little too late.
And it's kind of great because, and like, the, you know, the reveal is, oh, it's the sun has risen and Fiona's still an ogre, therefore that was true love's kiss. And then everyone starts to realize that their life is ending. Like, oh my God, yep. My reality is being destroyed. Every atom in my body is on fucking fire right now.
Yeah, Pinocchio's wandering around. My tummy hurts.
Shrek, why does it hurt so much?
Shrek and him are in his fucking spaceship for some reason.
Sure.
Somebody save Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Somebody get them.
Oh, God, this hurts so bad. I wish I would. Oh, no.
The way we cut back to the real timeline is we get the screaming, the roaring Shrek ogre at the birthday party.
Yeah.
Again.
Yep. So don't bother dealing with having to tell your wife that you fucking wish she was never freed from her bondage there, Shrek. That whole fucking fireball conversation never happened.
Lucky Shrek, dude.
It'd be funny if you just did it again by mistake.
And by the way, I've learned nothing.
And another thing.
This is inside this guy, and all it's going to take is a couple eyeball titties before this comes out. Maybe it's out at the birthday party. Somebody, one of these fucking kids breaks their toy at Christmas, and here it comes.
Mm-hmm. Right, dude, because like, yeah, sure, we're back now. Everything's fine. He's like, I've never been better. You know, he's like, you fucking saved me, Fiona, all this shit. But listen, this is only one birthday party.
Exactly.
There's fucking three kids, and you're right, Steve. Those eyeball martinis, man, they're out. One night, they're trying to have a nice family dinner out of Buca di Beppo swamp. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the kids are going fucking crazy. The breadbasket hasn't even come yet. But Big Papa Shrek is already four eyeball martinis deep at that Buca di Beppo. Mm-hmm. And he fucking loses it on that wait staff. They've never been so sure they should have had a closed kitchen area in their life. Because that open kitchen, Shrek's coming right through there. All them chefs getting beat up. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know, like, you know, like the king came to peace with Shrek. They're kind of buddies now. But I still don't believe that he's like, you know what? Maybe we put a few knights on them just to make sure Shrek doesn't get out of line one of these days. Or that, like, if some fat boy comes up to Shrek and says, do the voice, a knight can behead the boy.
Things are still running tight with the in-laws, dude, because there is one part. Because John Cleese and Julie Andrews do reprise their roles very limitedly.
Sure. Yeah.
But there's one line at the birthday party before the movie kicks into high gear where Shrek you know, everyone thinks Shrek like ate the cake, but it's really the Three Little Pigs. And Julie Andrews fucking, as the mother-in-law out of left field, is just like, oh, well, you know, just because you're an ogre doesn't mean you have to eat like one all the time. Christ, and I was like, man, this fucking mother-in-law, dude, like, they're still fucking riding this guy. Like, it never ends.
That's one of the reasons he's fucking smashing that cake, dude.
Because he thought it was Julie Andrews' face. Oh, and whatever. Like, everything's back to normal. He loves his life again. And then, because this movie thought that someone somewhere is just loving the covers of Believer, one of the worst fucking songs.
Wowzers.
IMO. Yeah. I hate this fucking song.
It sucks. And this cover sucks, and this
time,
too.
Is this Weezer this time? Yeah. Terrible fucking cover?
Yeah, it's dog shit.
Oh, wow. Weezer did something terrible after 1999. I can't believe it.
And, you know, they're playing that, and you're just like, what the fuck? The movie kicks into the credits here, and fucking Stevie Wonder, for once in my life, starts playing. And I was like, why wouldn't you just end the movie with one of the greatest songs of all time? No. Fucking Weezer has to come in covering Believer. Get out of here.
Well, it's better than like getting like whoever the singer for the Vines is to cover that, which would have been much worse, but not above what they would do.
Wasn't I'm a Believer in some of the other movies?
Yeah, I think there's a Smash Mouth cover, I believe.
So we pepped it up for 2010. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you get Maxine Nightingale right back where we started from. Another fucking great old tune that's way better than Weezer.
And much like the movie, they're just spending this whole time reminding you of all the things you love about all these movies. All these little like characters from all the different movies are showing up in the background.
It's a victory lap. Folks.
It's great. Yeah, we're bajillionaires. Thank you.
It's so fucking terrible. And that's it. That is Shrek Forever After. Blissfully is 96 minutes long or so.
Yeah.
I didn't look to see if it's the shortest Shrek movie, by the way. I would like to think that it is. It certainly felt that way.
Hold on. Interesting that the movie in question, you see, was 96 minutes long, but your podcast is significantly longer than that. you're all sentenced as losers herewith.
Oh, wow. Actually, I sit corrected here. Shrek 2001. 90 minutes.
Oh,
wow.
Nice.
And Shrek 2, 93.
10 minutes of that first one are Macarena jokes. So it's really 80 minutes.
2 and 3 are both 93 minutes. This is actually... Oh, no. Well, this says... IMDb says that Shrek Forever After is 93 also. I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
I think it's at least 96. I think this is the longest 96. Shrek movie, it turns out.
I think it is.
Garbage. Garbage all around, folks. But that's the movie. You go around. Final thoughts, and I guess maybe recommendations. I don't know. Chris Cabin.
Absolutely fucking not. Never watch this movie. It's a piece of shit.
Whoa.
It's the same thing with all like franchises that get to this point. Like it's just like, remember all the good stuff? Well, yeah. But do you remember all the good stuff? Like that's essentially the tone of the whole movie. Plus some John Cassavetes stuff that was not very convincing. So yeah, no, terrible.
Eric Sisko.
Yeah, the John Cassavetes stuff wasn't very convincing, Chris. He should have thrown a blow at least once or something.
Some drinking, more drinking, I think.
See, that's the thing. It's like, remember all the good stuff? No, I don't. I hated every single one of these movies. For some reason, I felt like maybe just this time, the runtime felt, maybe it was better paced. I don't know. Maybe we had more action set pieces. I don't know. It didn't feel as painful to me, but it was still very, very painful. So it's obviously a no from me. I detest it. But for some reason, I thought it might have been a little less painful than the first three. I don't know. Maybe I'll be eating my words on that when we recap them all again for part 5, whenever that happens.
Eric has a favorite Shrek. That's
yeah. What's your favorite Shrek?
I'm going to probably, do Puss in Boots count?
Sure, why not?
I would say Puss in Boots then.
Oh, that's right, because we are actually doing this for the sequel of Puss in Boots. It's coming out this week.
Oh, right, yeah. So we're remembering why we're doing things at the very end, and I think that's another instance of loserdom.
After, it absolutely has to be Puss in Boots, because that's the one with the least amount of Shrek in it.
You know, that's fair. Right. That might be my favorite as well. Anyway, I passed the gavel.
Steve Zadek.
Yeah, I share Eric's what you brought up a lot in this episode, which I share quite a bit, which is this idea: is it worse that there's no jokes because then you're not as angry as at the bad ones, or is it better? I kind of think it's worse. I kind of think that like this really loses track of what these movies are supposed to be. I would love to see what Shrek fans think about this, because I think that like the first movie is, you know, a historical artifact no matter how you cut it. You know what I mean?
So is 9/11.
That's true. And they both happened the same year, interestingly enough.
That's the year that everything went down the toilet. Yeah.
But I mean, at least like, you know, and that movie was a comedy. The point was like, oh, the humor is so sharp, which I disagree with. But like, that was like the point. That's what like, you know,
right.
And it's just not here. And we just have gone so into the weeds of the marriage drama of this. You know, you just want Shrek fucking waking up. Every day I wake up and I wish you were dead.
Yep.
You know, I don't need Shrek story. So yeah, it's a no for me.
Noah Baumbach Shrek.
This is not for me. Did not care for it. Yeah, the absence of jokes, weird, and I guess a little interesting, but not too interesting. I don't know if it works or not. And Eric, I feel like I'm in the boat with you. I don't know what I want. Like, yeah. More jokes? Nah, absolutely not. More action and fucking Shrek punching a hole through a wall? No, definitely not. I don't know. I will say, though, it's on Netflix. It runs 2 hours and 10 minutes. A filmed performance of Shrek the Musical. Oh,
can we do this?
With Broadway legends Brian D'Arcy James and Sutton Foster in the lead roles.
We got to do this. Maybe next year or the year or whenever Shrek 5 comes out, maybe that's when we do that one.
Oh, God.
You got to go back to the swamp.
We might have to go back to the swamp.
Steve, I hear you grumbling over there.
Oh, I'm grumbling.
If it's the exact same story as the first one, I might also grumble.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it probably is. I never saw it because it always looked terrible. Anyway, that is going to do it for Shrek Forever After, of course. Wretched franchise that is not for us. If you like it, hey, that is fantastic. If you want more We Hate Movies, of course, check out patreon.com/WeHateMovies. We got a lot going on there in this beautiful month of September. Of course, a We Love Movies all about The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, which is a fun-ass conversation. The season premiere, of course, us choking down hot dogs trying to watch Nothing But Trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been a fucking great month already. Stone Cold, classic new action film, new to me anyway, mm-hmm. that I love. With all my heart. But on the Patreon specifically, though, I'm talking main feed stuff. But on the Patreon, got a lot more stuff coming out. There's an AD out right now on Tailspin, Steve. Is that right?
That's right, on Lost Horizons or Last Horizons, whatever the fuck it is. Yes. It's the racist episode that has been taken off Disney Plus, but you can still buy it on Disney XD on YouTube because, you know, the mouse needs that cash. It's a wild, jingoistic Tailspin episode, folks.
Classic switcheroo right there.
And it's a fun, wildly app. I think it's almost 50 minutes long or so. Yes, about Tailspin, and that's another. And then we obviously also have the Gleep Glossary this month. We're doing Wee Kuei, but you know, you might not know that character, but we've done tons of other characters you do know, like Emperor Palpatine, Boba Fett, et cetera, that you can get on Patreon and unlock everything we've ever done if you sign up now.
Hell yeah. And as for the main feed here, of course, next Tuesday, the show continues. Steve, what movie will be chatting about then?
We'll be bringing back one of our best old friends, Angelica Jade Bastien, to talk about Disturbing Behavior.
I'm so excited. Ooh, I have not seen this movie, but ooh. I hear it is a hoot.
We're going to high school. You know, actually, we have not done our back to school episode. This is our back to school episode next week.
Sure.
Yes. Because it's so high school-y and like, what fucking table are you sitting at kind of shit.
I'm so excited, and I'm so excited to hear from our friend again.
That's right. So until next week, when Angelica Jade Bastien returns to We Hate Movies, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy.
We'll be right back. That was a HeadGum Podcast.